Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
How are you?
Good. So good. I would love everybody. This is Tracy Burnett.
And hi, everybody.
She owns a business. Tell them what your business is.
I own a media company called Farm Marketer and CottageMarketer.com.
Okay. And what we're going to do is a little spot coaching and see if we can't help you get you unstuck where you are in your business right now. Fair enough?
Yes. Okay.
All right. So tell me what it is that you want.
I was making a list to make sure I was ready. So where I'm at right now, I want to take my company to the next level of revenue. And I want to change my business a little bit. Our main revenue comes from advertising sales. And if anybody is watching the news, we can all see what's happening to a lot of businesses, advertising sales. Fortunately, we're in agriculture. People need to eat. Egg business is continuing on. But needless to say, over the years, the advertising options have changed a lot. Social media has come, for better or worse, for publishers, and it's just presented a lot more options. So we have a good niche content. We have a great following. But it makes me uncomfortable that the bulk of my revenue comes from something that is so uncertain. So I want to grow, maintain that, but also bring in a different part of my business, create a different type of revenue stream, something a little more consistent, a little more evergreen, and also something maybe that doesn't require me to fly around the world nonstop and grind it out for every sale. What I do is advertising sales and I cold call people. I'm used to it. It's okay, but it's not easy. And it's also not very effective to scale a business. So now I'm at a point going, wait a minute, hard work is good, but hard work can only get you so far when you're the main person, right? So I want to work a little smarter and build a second revenue stream for my business.
Okay. Tell me why you believe that having salespeople making calls is not a way to scale a business.
Okay, we'll go there. So I would almost say that's something that's holding me back too. So go to 2016. I was growing my business as the main person pretty substantially year over year. So we had a strong platform. Things were great. I decided to scale up and I ended up hiring some people for cold calling. And good or bad, I decided to give some people a chance that haven't cold called before. And if anybody's done it, I've now realized a small percentage of people can do it. They didn't do it, didn't increase my sales, lost a whack of money through paid wages, and just a little gun shy on that strategy right now. A second disclaimer to that, I do also think there's smarter ways to do it with the technology that we have now, as in email marketing, things like webinars, et cetera, et cetera.
So when you got to the point where you were going to hire people, why did you decide to start hiring people?
Okay, a few reasons. One would be, okay, this is good, strong business, lots of demand. That's the logical thing to do, right? If Tracy phoning and doing sales a part of her week can make this much of an increase on the business, what if I hire one or two or three people to do it? That should explode my income, shouldn't it? So, I mean, that would be number one. Number two, at that point, I struggled a little bit. I won't blame anybody else. I was one of multiple owners in the business at that point. I kind of wanted to do it a little bit different, but wasn't ready to do it the webinar way, all of that. And I did, again, I got to take full ownership because I was there. I pulled the trigger. I said yes. But a lot of it was pressure from business partners thinking that was the best way to grow. That would have been the main two reasons.
But you didn't actually like making the calls yourself, did you?
I don't mind it.
That's not what you wrote down. Well, in the form that you sent me, you said that you didn't like making calls.
I don't dislike calls. I think calls are, right now, I think calls, one, are not an easy thing to do. That's okay. I overcome that. I can pick up the phone, no problem. But I don't think it's effective and scalable. I don't dislike them. I can't say I don't love them. I'm neutral. I can do it A-okay. And when I get calling, I'm totally fine. I just don't think it's a smart way to do it.
Was it the process of making, did you think like it was too much work? Because you, like in the form, you said I had to grind it out every day.
Yeah. You know, yeah. What I said in the form is you grind it out. I mean, sales calls, yes. Okay. That's a negative thought. It is a bit of a grind. And where I'm saying that is knowing that there's probably smarter, easier, better ways to do it. Like you're standing there on a webinar right now. I could be doing that, selling my advertising and reaching hundreds of people versus one sales call, right?
Okay. So you said the push, the grind, and the stress has robbed me of my joy.
Yeah. I guess I do feel that way. It's tiring. Yeah. I don't dislike it, but it's tiring. It's not as fun as in-person sales or sitting on a computer doing marketing. Yeah, I mean, it's not the best, most loved thing. I don't dislike it, but maybe even that comment would be a little bit more of where I'm feeling with being a business owner right now. I'll use that again. I feel I've been grinding, and that's okay. I love what I do. I've been grinding nonstop. I'm a bit obsessive and just so passionate about my business, but I also want to be successful. I'm just so honed in and obsessed with business. I just feel I've robbed myself of the joy, right? Where I'm to the point where I push off life because, well, one, I love what I do, but two, I also want to be successful, right? So, go ahead.
In your mind, what is like, when will you know you're there, that you're successful? What tells you that you're successful?
Yeah, that's something I'm struggling with right now. You always go, oh, when you get to the next level, oh, this, oh, that. I've fully realized I don't think there's a point when you are successful, because when you get to the next spot, you want more. And then you don't feel secure, right? I think it's a fear-based thing. You want more so you feel safe.
So that's really what's operating under all of this is the threat that you're not actually going to be safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I want you to really think about that for a minute, because what it's like, we asked you, what gives you joy? Here was your answer. Honestly, not very sure what it is anymore. Sad to say. Ever since I started building a business, I've become obsessive. Went through bad people and scaling up and down. And the push, the stress, and the grind has robbed me of my joy. Right?
I do. You know, the funny thing, David, I mean, and I'll be fully honest, I think where I'm at is I feel like if I stop and enjoy my life, do some fun, stop thinking about the business, that everything's going to fall apart. And then you don't have money. It comes totally to that fear, I guess.
Yeah. You know, the idea about like these salespeople, I don't know that I agree, because I know a lot of media companies that have a whole army of salespeople and they build relationships with the people that they're selling media packages and advertising and marketing to.
Yeah.
There is an online component, right? But it's like the building of it is with a relationship. Because if you don't build a relationship with the people that are buying this stuff, then it becomes just a price point. And anybody that can come in and be your price point, that person is literally going to be gone. So, like, first off, I think that with the people that you hired, the error that you made there was you didn't find rock star salespeople. Right. So you need to find people that love sales and they're there. Like, there's a lot of people that love sales, people that love phone sales. They know how to build relationships. They're motivated by what they get by making sales all day. And that is a very productive team to have as an add-on to everything else that you're actually doing. But I think based on, you know, what you said in the form is a little bit different than how you're saying it here, but I think it's coming through. I think that you hired people that didn't like the things about sales, phone sales, that you don't like.
Okay.
Very often, instead of going out and saying, okay, here's the problem. So the sales are working. However, I don't have time to do the sales anymore for whatever reason, like whatever. I want to change this, whatever the reason is. If you don't know to go out and hire star rock star salespeople, then you do what you did. Was I give a person an opportunity who's never done sales before and they didn't like it. So then you came to the conclusion that it doesn't work. When the real truth is they weren't a good salesperson. You haven't tested having a rock star sales team to determine whether or not it actually works or not. And like I'm saying, I know companies that do what you do and they have rock star sales teams that build tremendous relationships with the people that they're working with. And they have companies that are making several hundred million dollars a year doing that. So I want to ask you about this safety thing though, right? So when you were a kid, you said that your parents worked very hard, right? But they also gave you the idea that it was difficult. Money doesn't grow on trees, that type of thing. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, I guess both my parents were self-employed and my dad was a truck driver. He's still around, doesn't drive truck anymore. But you grow up hearing those parental arguments about money and all of that stuff, right? So you just get that mental conditioning from that generation. I now know they grew up in a different generation with a lot less, and that's where that comes from. So you pick up on that conditioning when you grow up, right? You hear those things and then you grow up and then you repeat those things.
Well, you know what's even worse about that? Ask yourself, how did that make you feel when you heard them argue about money?
Well, yeah.
Because if that made you feel vulnerable and unsafe, take the topic they were arguing about, which is a necessity for every person's life, and the not feeling safe, and then combine that with hard work, and you've got a bit of a disaster on your hands when that paradigm starts to manifest in your life. Because you'll work your ass off, but you won't allow yourself to get to the point where you're going to start arguing about money. You want to stay in a safe zone. But when you get there, you also, because that other part of your brain is not actually reprogrammed, what it sees is why you won't be safe. Like, I can't go enjoy myself. I can't go do things I really love to do because the whole business could fall apart. So you have, like, there's a lot of catastrophic all or nothing thinking that's going on in there that is literally the block that's keeping you from getting to the million.
Okay.
The million is not difficult to get to at all. It really isn't. But if you don't understand the block that's keeping you from it, the strategy you're doing, it won't matter because what fulfills you and keeps you safe is your constant hard work. That's really what you're working for. The paradigm is saying, keep working hard, keep working hard, keep grinding it out. Like, look at the language that you gave me in your form, right? I mean, you literally, you even mentioned it, like you probably shouldn't be using that language, like it was negative or something, but you used it a lot in here. And what happens if something were to happen to me and I couldn't work? I'd be doomed. I'd be doomed, right? So like really think about those are very descriptive words. Why are you using those words? Because that was the threat that was you were exposed to as a child. Here's what you do know. Your asset in life is grinding it out, hard work. You can make it happen no matter what you need to do. But that will never get you to the million. And guess what? If you don't change the paradigm, the million's not going to be safe either. 10 million won't be safe. It'll just be more and more stressful. So the idea is that understanding what is it that actually keeps money coming in is your understanding of your control and your ability to be able to do that whenever it's necessary. Because that's the thing, like what we call safe or what we call like surviving or whatever, is being able to bring in the resources that we need whenever we need them. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yep.
You have the ability to bring those resources in. You could do it online, you can get on the phone, you can call people, all the different things that you could do to bring that resource in. You need to know that's the cause of the effect, okay? But that gets you what you have right now. Going to a million is not about working harder, it's about leverage. But you have to leverage your mindset first because it's also about letting go of control, which scares the hell out of you. You don't want to
let go of control?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Yeah. Control is good, David. Come
control,
on.
Control keeps you safe.
Control keeps you safe.
Right.
I don't know about this.
I'm telling you. But see, that's...
I'm joking.
Yeah, but...
I know.
But the paradigm will keep telling you that. Bringing on a team is letting go of control. So you find out what's wrong with it and say, well, I'm never doing that again. Let's take it all online so I can control it, right? But getting to a million is actually very easy if we understand that it's about leverage. But part of that leverage is letting go of control and knowing what to leverage, right? If you understand what to leverage, if you understand how to hire people correctly, you have a solid product, you have a good price, you have a great marketplace, you have three industries that you can actually sell to, right? Then there's no limit to the size business that you could actually grow. But you have to allow other people that are very good at what they do come in and be a benefit to you and actually help you grow that dream and that business. You have to let go. And you have to understand this. If it all went away today, you already have the knowledge integrated in you to pick up the phone and start making sales tomorrow. You already know how to do that. That is the thing that moves money into a person's life. That ability, that one skill set and the awareness around that skill set more than anything else, that keeps you resourceful. Now, the only other thing that would screw up your resourcefulness is if something got into your head where you didn't think you could do it, and you actually went to that place on the forum. That was the whole idea about the doom thing. What if I couldn't work? Yeah, that's all the more reason why you want to build a structure in your company that if you couldn't work or you just wanted to take some time off, that the company would still operate. Like it would still move forward. It could still grow because you did that. So your next level of growth is specifically in that place about going ahead, being very clear on what you want. Let's bring in the people that can help you expand and leverage that company. And then you get empower them to do the job that you're hiring them to actually do. Because it will take you in a very short period of time to where it is that you want to be. I think if you continue to do it with the ideology that you have, you actually put yourself at more risk for a big problem in the business than if you actually have a team of competent people that are working in that business. And here's the reason why. Because number one, you. If something happens to you, then the whole thing comes crashing down. But if you're building it in a way where something can switch at any moment, like all the stuff on the internet could switch, right? I used to tell people all the time, hey, at least we'll be, always be able to do live events. Well, I guess that kind of got shot in the ass with the COVID situation. So we never know what's going to happen that'll stop the structure of our business from operating. But if we combine it between people and the resources, then we always have a way to continue to be resourceful. But if you keep doing it this way, you actually put yourself in a situation where you're giving up more control that you don't even, you're not even aware of. And then it instantly could be gone in a very short period of time.
I hear you. I don't like it, but I hear you.
is it the part about giving up control that you don't like?
Yeah. You know what? It was just, and you know, it's funny because it's a vicious circle. You make the wrong hires, you get the wrong results, and then I'm gun shy. I fell off the horse and I don't want to get back up, right? I literally, pardon my language, am I allowed to say the H word?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Okay. Really? Yeah. I had 2 years of hell because of this scaling up. And again, it all goes back to hiring people that didn't have experience cold calling. So yeah. I realize that.
So let's change that paradigm. It actually goes back to you're not prepared to hire people that have the skill set. You haven't learned how to do it yet. So it's you're picking the wrong people. Hiring is a skill. It is a skill set that you have to learn. And if you don't know how to do it or you're unwilling to learn it, you need to find somebody that does know. It's like it's a real skill for a company. And here's what's very unfortunate. Most people that don't have that skill set, they hire people just like them with the same likes and dislikes. And they hire them based on that idea. Oh, I like this person. But there's no evidence that they could actually do the job that you're hiring them for. So that's on us if we do that. So don't say I hired people that couldn't do the job or they didn't want to or whatever. I didn't have the right skill set and knowledge to be able to do that. So now we know where to fix it because we work on getting you to be a good hiring person or finding somebody that can help you do that task.
And listen to my gut because everyone that I hired in my community and the ones that I said yes to, I had red flags. And I just said, shut up, Tracy. What's that red flag? Right? Ignore that. But I have a good gut. And every single time I ignored that, mistake. I've learned that now.
So now why did you do it though? Why did you not listen to your gut?
Because they were we were scaling up and we needed to hire. And they were the absolute best of the very small candidate pool. So I just said, filling a seat is better than no one in the seat. No.
Yeah, no, no. So so you never want to put yourself in a situation to hire out of desperation. You want to hire based on where am I designing and envisioning this company to go? And then what are the best people I can find to put in those places? Not anybody, but literally going out and defining what am I looking for in talent and experience to fill this skill set and then finding those people and not putting anybody else in there until you find those individuals. What does that do? It gives you control because you're coming from a knowledgeable, internalized skill set that you build. Now you know you have control over that part of the company. If somebody leaves, you know how to replace them. It's not that you get gun shy. You're like, I'm resourceful enough. I understand this resource. I understand this skill set. I can replace this person now. And I don't have to think the whole thing doesn't work and I throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I actually understand how to do this. So it actually gives you more control, not less.
Yeah. I agree. You want to hear what's making it worse too, which is further strengthening my crazy control. Is as soon as all those salespeople left and I ended up taking the sales over again, I started selling way more than any of them did. So in my mind, that reinforces you don't need salespeople, which is horrible. I'm just in a vicious cycle, right?
Right.
And I'll burn out.
Right. So a lot of people that I've worked with over the years have been in the same situation you are. They're ready to scale, but they're having a hell of a time letting go of control, and they don't know how to hire. That's the first thing that has to be changed, right? It's really coming into peace with yourself around the decision that this is what I need to do, but it's the next thing I need to learn to allow me to scale the business. Because if you can become proficient at that or hire someone who's proficient at it, that problem is solved, and now you have a solid strategy that will allow you to scale, providing everything else is equal. Like you have the ability to handle the business and, you know, the infrastructure is there, because that's very important. Trying to scale without the infrastructure is no, it's not good, because it'll all come crashing down. But if you have that infrastructure in place, then it is the best investment in your own skill set to be able to meet this, to be able to meet this piece. And understand that you need to get rid of the idea of staying safe. You need to redefine what safety is to you, and it can't be a place. If safety is a place, it makes us extremely vulnerable to it changing. And the one constant in the universe is change. Everything changes. So what the thing that makes us safe is the ability to be resourceful in any situation. That is an ability. It's an awareness that we develop inside of ourselves by continuing to move through something and figuring out how to do it even when it presents an obstacle. Removing the subconscious blocks in our mind, the blind spots, and developing that part of ourselves. So now it's like, I don't need to be safe. I create my own safety, and I create it based off of cause and effect, which is resourcefulness in situations allows me to overcome the situation, to move through the situation, to be safe in the situation. Safety is an absolute thing, does not exist. It does not exist, because everything in the world is in a constant state of change and transmutation, right? So those are the skills that allow you to not only be safe, but to excel. Even in the worst situations, you can excel in them. If you understand what to look for and what not to get sucked into from as a belief system goes. All right?
Sounds good. Sense.
All right. It was great talking to you. It was great helping you. Go out and do it now.
Will do. I just wanted to say thank you so much for all your work. You're awesome, and you are one of my main mentors.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.